might sound stupid to some. I'm sure it does. But I am very proud of it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, no one this week. No one, because I'm doing it all by myself. Stepping out, we're doing Ben's story time. We've done Gus's story time multiple different occasions. We've done Gus and Ben's story time. This week, we are doing a Ben's story time. We're going all, we're branching out, doing our own thing. Alrighty, so if you're not okay with that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I failed you. But indeed, we are going to be just doing a brief little story time today, talking about random things. And, you know, as many who have listened to this show may have gathered, I am a rather large video game fan. I love video games. And I really enjoy playing them and talking about them and discussing them. And while I love movies, I figured today I'd just dive deep on that and kind of talk about, you know, what my once aspiration was with gaming, what I do now to keep up with that hobby and aspiration, what I like most about games, etc. Just kind of having a chit-chat, it's story time, right? It's story time. So let's go ahead and get into it. So, when we're here talking about gaming, before we get into it, I want to just make a brief statement, let you guys know, and remember, we're recording this quarantine-esque, we use our headsets, audio might sound bad from here here and there, time to time, you know, usually, for those of you who have gone back and listened to older episodes, we record in studio with real good mics, and everything's always been fine, but now we have to record it at home, and the audio isn't as great. So just precursor to that. What we do here generally on the show, every week we take a film, we watch said film, we then submit that movie to the factory, we'll discuss what we liked, what we didn't, and imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it, who would star, who, you know, same movie, different cast, different crew. But, like I said, today we're just going to have a little bit of story time, just kind of chat about games and things like that, and maybe talk about a few other things. So let's go ahead and get into it. So my, you know, aspiration for gaming started when I was a very wee. I grew up watching my brother play a lot of games. Gus, co-host of the show, not with us today, but indeed I would watch him play all sorts of different games. And I remember just being, you know, terrified of certain games. Like, I had this fear when I was younger of witches. And so my brother loved the Banjo-Kazooie franchise. So I was always terrified of Gruntilda. I remember him playing Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. And the witches, the twin witches in the Gerudo Valley levels always terrified me. I did not like that at all. You know, Hocus Pocus, the movie, scary as hell. I would rather watch Halloween than watch that. That's a lie. Now, because I love Halloween, I love Hocus Pocus. But indeed, it was always a really big thing for me to watch my brother play games. I have a lot of fond memories of watching him play games. And it, you know, there was a time in my life that he was the console game player. He played the console games, and I played, like, handheld games a lot. And that kind of continued on for a really long time. And so because of that, really the only time I dipped my toes into, like, full-blown games for the N64, even the GameCube, really, was if I was playing games with him or I was watching him play games. I remember he played and beat Shadow of the Colossus, and I'm pretty sure I watched him play every single level, beat every Colossi. I remember there was an article in a GamePro, which I brought this up to him recently, that had, like, how to beat the first, like, six Colossi, and I remember, like, helping him, going through each one as he was going to each one and discussing and trying to figure out how do we beat it. And it really wasn't until a game for the PS2 called Area 51 made by Midway. It's a great game. I recently, my friend owned it. One of my friends from youth owned it, and I never had it. It was rated M. And it's such an awesome game for the PS2. It was made by Midway. And it's just, I'll read the back. Discover the mind-blowing truth about UFOs, Roswell, alien autopsies, and more as you blast your way through the U.S. government's most secret and secure military facility, Area 51. And it was just such a neat game. It was such a cool idea for a game. And I really appreciated everything they did with it and all the different enemies and abilities you got. And it was just so cool. And I looked it up recently. It's only like an 8-hour game. But back then, it was a big deal because back then, I was only playing games like Harvest Moon and Animal Crossing. And like the Harvest Moon franchise was a huge factor in my future of gaming and like what I got into. And that might sound weird, but it's legitimate. Cause like when I played Harvest Moon, the farming simulator game, was like one of the first games that I can remember that I actively had to have. I wanted it so bad. And that game, I remember seeing it in Nintendo Power magazine, wanting it so bad. It had a big excerpt explaining the game and what you could do and all these different things. And I remember wanting it, and my brother and I went to visit our grandma, and she took us to a family video, and we rented it. We were only there for a night. We rented it for a night, and me and him switched off every hour. We played it almost all night and eventually got it for Christmas, and I remember that being like one of the longest car rides home because we'd have Christmas with our family Christmas not at our house. So we got it, and then we had like an hour and a half drive home the next day. So I got it, and I was like reading the manual and imagining playing it but not playing it, so that was hard. But it influenced Harvest Moon, this game where you're a farmer, influenced what I play today to a degree, and I'll explain. Because in my opinion, excuse me, games are the ultimate form of escapism. Any form of media is escapism. Whether you're watching a superhero movie or watching sports or whatever it may be, you're escaping into that world for a little bit, right? You're escaping into the Marvel universe. You're escaping into the Star Wars universe. You're escaping into watching people play a sport. Same with reading a book. You're making these worlds in your head, right? But when it comes down to games, you're making those decisions. You're living in that world. You are becoming a part of it, okay? And I think that video games are the best format of escapism there is. Now, with Harvest Moon, you know, this was like one of the first games that I had ever played where I was making these decisions, living this life. You know, you're going out and about, you're talking to people every day, you're selling crops, you're interacting with townsfolk, you're taking care of your animals, taking care of your crops. You're living there. You're living in that world. And from there on, I wanted more games like that. I wanted games where I was living in a world. I was escaping. I was playing games that, I felt that I could make a difference in this world, right? So I started playing things like Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing Wild World on the DS, I put in probably hundreds upon hundreds of hours. I wish I could go back and check how many hours I put into that game. But that was, directly related to me playing Harvest Moon, rather. I wanted games where I was escaping into the world. And as I grew older, I still wanted that. But I found it in different games. I found it playing different types of games that still had the same elements. So as I, got into my teenage years, things like Assassin's Creed, which were, at one point was my favorite franchise. Assassin's Creed. Things like Skyrim, Oblivion, games like that, where I was living in the world. I was actually an active participant in the world. that quickly became my type of game, open world games. I wanted games where I was involved. Fallout series, Fallout 3, Fallout 4. It became less of, you know, I want these games with fleshed out stories like Zelda or Pokemon. And I wanted games where I was just constantly, you know, growing, expanding, exploring. And so that became my go-to game. Now, while I say these are the types of games I'm playing, I was still playing games like Mario Kart, Mario Party, Mario Sports games, Call of Duties. I loved the Call of Duty games. And like the Grand Theft Auto games and things like that. But it quickly became very clear that the Assassin's Creed style open world games, that's what I wanted in my games. I wanted open world escapism. And that's what I played all throughout high school. I mean, you go back and look at my 360 in high school, and I was playing open world games and Call of Duty pretty much nonstop. Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead. I haven't played Red Dead Redemption 2. It's on the backlog. But that was key. Animal Crossing and Harvest Moon led me to this open world, you know, viewpoint, which is fun. It's kind of like an evolution in how, what our taste is. Next time, you know, for those of you listening who play games a lot, think about, you know, what games you played as a kid. And honestly, think about how it affects what you play today. Because I think a lot of people don't get that any credence. A lot of people really see games as just an entertainment pastime, where I kind of see it almost as a legitimate hobby. Because I starting in college, I started keeping track of all the games I've beaten. My list goes, it's all the games I've beaten, and or all the games that I've put 100 hours or more into. I started this my junior year of college. And the list has been based fully on whether or not I've completed the story or put 100 hours into the game or more. So multiplayer games only can make the list. Overall impact of the game on my life or on the games of my choice in general. So like Harvest Moon, for instance, like I said, influenced my life, influenced the games that I played. So it had a big impact, so it could rank higher, things like that. I also, when I was making this list and starting it, I decided that I would start, basically, if I had a franchise that I felt was mostly the same or would rank really close to each other, such as, for instance, a Pokemon or a Super Smash Brothers, where it's a series, but they rank very close to each other, I would include them on the list just as a series instead of splitting up the games. And so, you know, I had this list start to develop. This list of all sorts of different games, variety of different genres, and how do you compare them, you know? And I would show this list to people, and they'd always have so many questions. Questions like, you know, why is The Last of Us way up, like, so much further back on your ranking than normal for other people? Why is the Pokemon series here? Why is the Harvest Moon series here? People would just ask all these questions, and it'd be so confused. And I'd always have to explain it, because I'm proud of this list. I'm proud of the games that I've played. And you know, it might sound stupid to some. I'm sure it does. But I am very proud of it. And it's the same as if, you know, someone reads a lot of books. Someone reads a lot of books. We used to do it in high school. You'd have to read, you know, how many books can you read in the summer? Which is always like one for me because I'm a slow reader. But it's the same idea, same concept. It's a media. It's an art form. I'm absorbing it, the messages, the things from that. I'm not just playing multiplayer games, Call of Duties and Battle Royales. I'm playing games with stories a lot of these times. And so I'm very proud of the list of games that I've compiled over the years since junior year of college. And I decided that I would start summarizing each game, describing, you know, why this game is here, why I chose to put it so high. And with that, came this desire to create content in terms of gaming, or to discuss it more or less, just to discuss it on a more open level. So I started seeking out, you know, more podcasts, more YouTube channels that talk about gaming, and get involved, or just discuss, or even try to freelance and write reviews and things like that. And I really, really feel drawn to the gaming industry. I always have. And so this was kind of my precursor, and I'm proud of this list. And so I figured on this episode, maybe what I'd do is kind of go through the list to a degree. I don't have summaries for everything written. There are 41 games on the list. 41 games that I've compiled, or series and games, I've compiled since junior year of college. And I don't actually have summaries until the 21st game on the list. And so I figured what I'd do is I'd go through this list. And I wouldn't explain the first 20 or so, or the first 15. I'd read the summaries for my top 10. I'd read the summaries for my top 10, and I might stop here or there to explain myself on a couple, because I feel like there are a couple rankings that a lot of people would see or hear and say, wait a minute, that deserves a higher ranking or a lower ranking, depending on who you are. So without further ado, let's get into this list. So starting at number 41, so the back end of the list, we have Kingdom Hearts Rechain Memories. That game I didn't enjoy even in the slightest, but I knew you had to play it. And what's sad is I enjoyed Kingdom Hearts 1 so much that Kingdom Hearts Rechain Memories made me very hesitant to get to Kingdom Hearts 2, and I haven't gotten to it since. So that's why that falls so low. I hated the combat, and it was mostly the gameplay that I despised. Ni No Kuni 2. Ni No Kuni 2 is a fantastic JRPG. Don't get me wrong. I liked it a lot. It was going up against my number one game of all time. I had just finished my number one game of all time, and I started right in Ni No Kuni 2 because it was my backlog, and it just, it wasn't what I wanted at that time, so it fell. Star Wars Battlefront series. I love Star Wars. Huge Star Wars fan. But the Battlefront that I grew up with and the Battlefront I have now are just completely different. And I like all the Battlefront games. They just aren't as important to me anymore as they once were. Next, the Assassin's Creed series. Like I said, Assassin's Creed was once my favorite game series there was. I love the Assassin's Creed series. But after Assassin's Creed 3, I didn't care really as much anymore. As I think a lot of people had the same reaction to that series, so it just fell out of favor. Fire Emblem Birthright. Fire Emblem, you'll see, is one of my favorite franchises of all time. I've played a lot of Fire Emblem games. And Birthright just had something going on. I just didn't really fall in love with characters like I had in other ones. Didn't really care for the story or the storytelling aspects. Minecraft, who doesn't like Minecraft? Of course, it's on the list. It's just, how much of an impact did it actually have on my life versus how much time did I put into it? That's really why it falls down the list. Fallout 4, I like Fallout 4 a lot. Bethesda is a great company, and I recognize that. It's more so dealing with the fact that the story isn't phenomenal. I did like it a lot, but it's a Fallout game. I mean, Fallout games are fantastic, but it's a Fallout game. Fire Emblem 7. That's the one for the Game Boy. It was the first American release, Game Boy Advance. And it was a great game. It's funny, because I got that game when I was a kid, because Super Smash Bros. Melee had Roy, and Roy was my favorite character. And I saw the Fire Emblem case when we were on vacation at a store, and I convinced my mom to buy it for me, because I had never seen it before, and I wanted it so bad, and I sucked at the game, because Fire Emblem games are hard. So I never beat it. And I wanted it because I thought it was Roy on the cover. It's actually Elwood. And Elwood is Roy's dad from Smash Bros. So I was very confused, very upset. But I recently beat it last 2 years ago. And I loved it. It was fantastic. Permadeath makes it very, very hard. Not what I'm used to. Because as a Fire Emblem fan playing these newer Fire Emblem games, I'm not used to permadeath, where a character dies or a unit dies and they're gone for good. So I was playing Fire Emblem 7, and I'd have a character that I'd had since the beginning of the game die, and they're gone for good. And that hurt. That's a good, effective means of gameplay. Next is Grand Theft Auto at 33 on the list. Whether or not either you agree with me or don't agree with me, I think the Grand Theft Auto series is fantastic and influential to gaming. The reason it falls flat here for me is I've just kind of, I guess, grown out of it. Grown out of the Grand Theft Auto franchise. I love the worlds. I love the writing. I like the gameplay. But with Grand Theft Auto 5 and online, like, I think I played it too much, I think is the issue. Like, I got everything I wanted out of it, and so it just slowly over time decreased on my ranking. Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE, which just got re-released for the Switch. I played it on Wii U. It's a mix-up of a Shin Megami Tensei and Fire Emblem games. And while I didn't necessarily love the game, I thought that the combat system, which you look up anything, people will tell you the same thing. The story's not great, but the combat system was fantastic. And to anyone who's curious by that, go check it out, because it is worth it. The combat system in Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE is one of the best I've ever played. 31 and 30 are two back-to-back Legend of Zelda games, Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, Legend of the Link Between Worlds. Majora's Mask, I just couldn't get into. I actually did a great sin in gaming that I consider a sin in gaming, which is I stopped playing it for about a month and then picked it back up. I hate doing that. I absolutely hate dropping games for a certain amount of time. Once I start playing a game, I need to beat it or just quit, and I rarely just quit on a game. So Majora's Mask falls flat for me. I don't know what it was, because it's one of my brother's favorite games of all time. I think if you ask Gus to write his list, he would probably, top 10 would be Zelda games. But Majora's Mask is definitely a little lower than me. Link Between Worlds, that kind of kicked me back on a Zelda kick and got me more interested in Zelda again. And it was such a unique game, so it makes 30. But Link Between Worlds and Majora's Mask going back to back at 30 and 31. So next at 29, getting in the 20s here, we had the COD series, Call of Duty series. I've been playing Call of Duty games since Call of Duty 4. That was my first one, Modern Warfare. And after that, while I didn't have, I didn't have World at War, Call of Duty 5 World at War. I did not have that. I borrowed it a lot. I played it a lot because of zombies. I've had every COD game since that. Until recently, when we got into the Infinite Warfares and things like that. But honestly, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the new one, 2019, the remake, has been the best Call of Duty experience I have had since Modern Warfare 2. Modern Warfare 2 was the game of, like, my, not the game of my childhood, but the multiplayer game of my childhood. That's what I played. I would get home from school and play that. Just on repeat, and I feel like I've had that same connection with Modern Warfare, the remake. So COD makes it on there because that has been, you know, a focal point in my multiplayer gaming life. Playing with friends, friendships have been developed, things like that, so definitely has to be on there. Next Mario series, this includes party, kart, and sports games. So it's not Mario platformers, just Mario Karts, Mario Strikers and Sluggers, and those games, and Mario Party games. Because those, you know, the amount of hours I probably put in those games across, you know, however many titles, it deserves a spot on the list, and I've had so many of them, but I didn't want to rank them all individually. I felt like they all are of that subgenre of a Mario game that is for multiplaying, if that's a word. You know, you should be playing these games. They're multiplayer Mario titles, so you should be doing that with them. Number 27, Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. This is one that I'd be curious, if I went back and played Majora's Mask and Link Between Worlds, would I like it better than Link's Awakening? Link's Awakening was fresh in the mind. I enjoyed it. I loved the art style. The music was phenomenal. But it's frustrating to me, because the older games, I always have, I don't know if this, because I say I love video games, and they're this hobby for me. But older games frustrate me a lot because it almost feels like a lack of polish, but I know it's just a challenge, right? Link's Awakening is a very challenging game, and you have to, you know, just try a bunch of different things and know where to go and stuff like that. And that always frustrates me with older games. The remake was phenomenal, though. I really did enjoy my time with it. It's a great little, like, 12-14 hour adventure. So it makes 27. 26, Kingdom Hearts. Phenomenal, original story. Loved it. Very, very good game, and I really like the characters. Kingdom Hearts, at one point, was my favorite game when I was a kid. I played it for the PS2, and I never beat it. I got to the final level, the final world, and I never beat it, because I thought I had beaten it once I beat Maleficent, and I didn't realize that there was more to the game, and I was borrowing it, so I gave it back. But I got to the final world. I just beat it 2 years ago. Went through, beat it, knocked it out, loved it. It was fantastic. Loved Kingdom Hearts. Loved Sora, Donald, Goofy. A great pairing. It's just so unique. I love the world they built. Next is Resident Evil 4. This is the only Resident Evil game that made the list. I beat Resident Evil 5. I got that for my 13th birthday, so it was just very long ago that it doesn't make the list because I wouldn't be able to accurately list it. But Resident Evil 4 I beat last year, and I loved it. It's so campy, so fun. There's a reason why that's a lot of people's favorite Resident Evil game. And it made me want to play other Resident Evil games. So yeah, Resident Evil 4 makes the list at 25. 24 is Counter-Strike Go. This just is included because this is a game that I bought when I first built a PC, and I hated it. I thought it was the worst game. So stupid. I didn't see why people loved it. But once my friends started playing it, I really fell in love with the gameplay and the strategy and the teamwork aspect. You have to work together to actually, you know, get things done. I really did like my time with CS, and it was just a good multiplayer experience. Mario Odyssey next up there. That's the only Mario platformer I've ever beaten. And it makes the list because it's such a great... there's a reason why that was a lot of people's game of the year, Mario Odyssey. And it's 23rd on my list. Though that falls in line with... I'm not a big platformer player, but 23rd on the list is not bad, trust me. Animal Crossing series coming in at 22. I love the Animal Crossing series. New Horizons was phenomenal. Still play it every now and again. I put a lot of time into New Leaf. Wild World was like the game of my youth. I played so much Animal Crossing Wild World on the DS. That's just a series that I'll probably, until the end of time, pick up. So the next one, 21, this is where some of you might scream in anger. So at 21 is The Last of Us, and that's low for a lot of people. Know that all these games, pretty much after, I have 41 games on the list, pretty much after 41, I love every game on this list. Like, I enjoyed my time. Like, it doesn't mean that I hated it, that it's this low. It just means it didn't really have a bigger impact on me. The games above this had a bigger impact, or I enjoyed better, right? So, 21, The Last of Us. A lot of you probably have this listed as your highest game, or highest ranked game, one of your favorites. I just think this spot was earned. The story's honestly masterclass. Story's fantastic. The acting, the motion capture, they're all astonishing. And this is me paraphrasing what I had written. It'll make you feel like you're truly attached to Ellie and Joel. You really are. The game is head and shoulders above most games on this list in terms of its story. But I really just didn't feel like the gameplay was there. A lot of people are like, it's the story, though. It's the story. But the gameplay took me out of the story. The gameplay was immensely lackluster. The combat, sneaking around, that was good. The sneaking around especially, because it was challenging. But the puzzling, the find a ladder, find a pallet, push a dumpster, those are the three puzzles in the game pretty much. And you do them so many times, again and again and again, that by the fourth or fifth hour of this 10 to 12 hour game, in my head, I'm like, every time I have to do this, it's taking me out of this fantastic story. It's escapism, right? Like I said, games are escapism. The Last of Us puzzles were poorly designed. I love the game. I love the game. The puzzles were poorly designed. And they took you out of the game. how many times have you actually seen a pallet in just the world, even in an apocalypse? You know, like, they're finding them everywhere just when they need them. It's just too, it would have been better, I know it's a coding thing, and but it would have been better if they would have put some variation in that. Instead of finding a wooden pallet, maybe you find just a board this time, or, you know, something else. I would have believed them finding a surfboard in the middle of Pittsburgh, just randomly, over another pallet. You know, so things like that. The puzzles really took me out of the game. I didn't think it was as good as a lot of people think it is. I thought the story was very, very good, but I did think there has been stories like that. I was talking with Gus, and he was like, yeah, it's a retreading of The Walking Dead mixed with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Which is, you know, that's why I didn't really like Avatar, the movie Avatar, because it's just a retelling of Pocahontas, which Gus will listen to this and be angry about. But I did love the game, don't get me wrong. I just couldn't help but feel that it was a little overrated. So next on my list here, we have, getting into the top 20s here, Dead Island. I feel like I need to read a little bit about Dead Island, because for a lot of people, that game's not, like, top-tier quality. And you might be thinking, why is that above The Last of Us? The Last of Us is a 10 out of 10 game versus this 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10 Dead Island. The reason Dead Island's here is because of an impact it had on my life. I bought it on a whim. I asked a friend of mine to pick it up, my friend Pork, asked him to pick it up to play co-op with me. He picked it up, and we played it the whole way through, all together. And for those of you who have played a game co-op with someone, that's special. It's a special thing to do. We stayed up for hours playing it. We played it for a solid month, leveling up our characters, going through the story together, progressing together. And the gameplay and the story really aren't anything to get excited about. But I can honestly say that this game was the best co-op experience I ever had. And it really cemented a friendship. It cemented a friendship with my friend Pork. He was in my wedding because of this game. Not precisely, but it did. You know, it had a special place in my heart. When it came out remastered for PS4, me and him played it together. We played Dead Island again together. So it holds. I bought it three times, four times. It holds a special spot in my heart because it was one of the best, if not the best, co-op experience I've ever had in a game. And I have a lot of memories with it. And it helped develop a friendship, a lifelong friendship. So that's why it ranks high on the list. Like I said, this list isn't necessarily my best games that I've ever played. It's my top, as in what games had an impact on me. So Dead Island comes in at number 20. So next on the list, we got Skyrim. I won't go too in-depth with that. Everyone's played Skyrim. It's been out a billion times. I loved it. I got it on 360 from a friend who bought it and did not like it and sold it to me for $20 cheaper the next day. So instead of 60, I got it for 40. And I played it all throughout the night. Loved Skyrim. Just a great open world. It's been done to death. People know. Harvest Moon is at 18. It makes it there because it cemented my interest in sim games, social sims, open world games. Like I said earlier, it led me down the path of loving this. And video games are escapism. These games are effectively escapism, right? And Stardew Valley, you know, I would have Stardew Valley on this list because I do love Stardew Valley. But the Harvest Moon series and Stardew Valley have so much in common. Stardew Valley could be considered the best Harvest Moon game of all time. And it's not a Harvest Moon game. But I love the Harvest Moon franchise, so I gave it the nod here kind of deal. So I talked about Harvest Moon, so we'll continue on. 17, Fire Emblem Awakening. Now, this one is interesting because it has a high spot on the list at 17. I played it in high school, and I loved it. At one point, it was in my top 10, and it got me back into the Fire Emblem series. I bought Fire Emblem 7 when I was a kid, and that was the only Fire Emblem game I ever had. I got my mom to buy it, like I said earlier. And then I bought Fire Emblem 7 Fire Emblem Awakening on a whim, loved it, beat it, loved everything. And then from there on, I've bought pretty much every Fire Emblem game since. So It's one of those things, though, when I beat it so long ago, I'm not really sure how much I love the story, the characters, things like that. I'm actually replaying it as we speak. I started earlier this week. I'm already 8 hours in. Love it so far. It's well-deserving of this spot on the list, but I will keep you updated. It might go up higher. We don't know. Next is Catherine Full Body. Catherine Full Body is a fantastic puzzle game. It's just so, so interesting. Gus recently just beat it. Wanted him to play it for a really long time, and I just kind of brought it over and had him start it, and he beat it within a couple of days. It's just such a unique story, telling the story of a guy finding himself in the middle of a love triangle, and every night he has nightmares where he has to climb these bricks, these blocks, to get to the top and survive, and if he falls in his dream, he dies in real life. It's just such a weird, twisted, dark fairy tale. It's a lot of fun. Highly recommend Catherine Full Body, which just came out on the Switch. All right, so rounding out number 15 here, Ni No Kuni. Ni No Kuni played a really definitive role in my gaming choices. I'm a big anime fan. Gus and I, we've done several Studio Ghibli films. We've done Princess Mononoke here on the podcast. We've done Whisper of the Heart. We've done a lot of different Studio Ghibli films, and this is a game that the animation was done by Studio Ghibli, the cutscenes, and the style was, focused on Studio Ghibli-esque storytelling and everything like that, and the music done by Joe Hisaishi in this game, who is the composer for most Studio Ghibli films, one of my favorite composers of all time. So you have a visual style that's phenomenal, a masterclass. You have a score, soundtrack, that'll stick with you. And the gameplay has a lot of unique elements, because it's a lot like Pokemon, but with a JRPG grind to it. The story is emotional. It has a very Last of Us opening, to a degree. It's touching. It grips you consistently, because it does come across that you have these main characters that are generally children, but they're dealing with these like adult themes and stuff. I felt the story and it hit me in emotional levels, but also it made me want to play more JRPGs, put more time into games. So Ni No Kuni, along with another game that's up a little higher on this list, and we'll talk about in a second, are really what helped to develop my JRPG love, which, like I said, with Harvest Moon, that made me want to play open world games. Ni No Kuni and another game that we're going to discuss later on this list made me seek out JRPGs, and JRPG has become my favorite genre since. Next on the list is a game I actually beat like 5 days ago, 4 days ago. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. It was an unexpected treat. I can't remember the last time I beat a game in one day. And this game did that. I beat it in a single day. It was one of the most intense games I've ever played. Be that because of what they did with the audio and Senua having psychosis and hearing the voices in your head as you're playing the game. It was a beautiful looking game. Very effective in what they did. Combat, I thought, was very unique and fun. I'm not really much of a Souls player, and I thought that's what Dark Souls was, but I guess Dark Souls are a lot harder than that, but I thought it was a good combat, hefty combat, nonetheless, and the story, I love the story, I love the ending, the music was great, and the audio, just what they did with that audio, it earns its spot because it was a technical marvel to me. I had never played a game like that, whereas The Last of Us, I've played that game before, I've seen that story before, kind of deal, where Hellblade, I hadn't, it was so unique to me. So I really enjoyed Hellblade, and I think it doesn't get enough praise. So it rounds out at 14 for me. So as I mentioned a little bit ago, Ni No Kuni was one of the first games that got me into the JRPG landscape. This game, on number 13, is the game that got me set to play JRPGs and made me want to have games that told a large overarching story with many colorful characters. That's Final Fantasy XV. It's the only Final Fantasy game I've ever beaten. And it finds itself on this list because it started my modern game habit. I loved the characters throughout Noctis, Prompto, Ignis, Gladius. I loved all the characters. His friends. It was experiencing their journey was really fun because you, while the story isn't that great, it's very muddled. You get to experience these characters together, and I always really appreciated and enjoyed that. The story was definitely a little jumbled. I enjoyed the combat, but like I said, the reason it makes 13 isn't because of the combat, isn't really because of the gameplay, the story, things like that. It's because this game got me invested in characters. I was invested with all the different characters and the journey. And because of that, I began to actively seek out games that had these elements. And I found that in JRPGs. So this game led me to Ni No Kuni. I played Ni No Kuni. And then between Ni No Kuni and Final Fantasy XV, I decided that I wanted to play more JRPGs. And from there, I became a huge fan of the JRPG genre, which I have a lot on my backlog, but that became a big thing for me. It was the JRPG genre based on Final Fantasy XV, so that's why it makes the spot here. Next up is Rocket League at number 12. It's hard placing this game outside of the top 10. It stands as one of my favorite multiplayer games of all time. It also holds a spot on the list. It's probably the game that has made me angrier than any other game. I really wanted to be good at Rocket League. I have since accepted that I will never be good at Rocket League. But for a short amount of time, I was really competitive with this game, and I'm not a competitive person. And in college, several different times, I have my PS2 controller that I used to play is actually broken because I squeezed it so hard that I bent the plastic underneath in college. I also got up after losing a game one time and threw my chair into my door. I cracked my door the whole way up. And one time in college, I threw my wallet at the wall so forcefully. My wallet opened, and it left an imprint of, like, my card slots on the wall. So, yeah, I was very competitive. I have since calmed down. I just focus on having fun, screwing around. I know I'm not that good. I know I'll never be that good. But a lot of times I just play this game now with my friends. We do the 3-against-3 with just friends, 6 people. It's a lot of fun. So Rocket League has become my kind of one of my go-to multiplayer games. So next up, finishing out just before the top 10 here, number 11, Persona 3 Fez. Persona 3 was a game that I ended up liking way more than I anticipated. It's a PS2 game, and I just beat it less than a month ago. A lot of aspects just haven't aged well. The graphics, I didn't think were that bad. Obviously, it's a PS2 game. The gameplay took me a little while to get used to. You weren't able to control your party, so I could control myself, but then my other party members attacked separately. So picture like a Pokemon game, but you don't control your Pokemon. That was kind of what it felt like. It wasn't that bad, though. Not being able to fast travel, really, there was an element of it, but it was kind of difficult. Not being able to save wherever you want. Things like that were all things that made me kind of dislike the game at first. The story seemed to feel rushed at times, introducing new characters and removing those characters. Events happened out of nowhere, at a moment's notice at times. I just felt that the story could be jarring at times. I disliked it. But the game boasts some of the best music, some of the best characters, and one of the best settings that I've ever seen in a game. I loved the soundtrack. The characters were great. What I've come to love about Persona was encapsulated in this game. It was just lacking polish, and that's due to the fact that it's an older game. And this was like their first attempt at a lot of different things that I've come to love with Persona. So I really appreciated the game's message. Death is inevitable, so find your purpose. Live life to the fullest. It was a 65-hour-plus run. I found myself having another bittersweet moment with it. I really like Persona 3 Fez. If you're a Persona fan, I suggest giving it a shot. And so we find ourselves in the top 10 here. And so these games on this list, this top 10 portion, again, these aren't necessarily my favorite games of all time. They're my top. They're games that earned these spots because of the effect they had on my life, the playtime, whatever it may be. So at number 10, a lot of people might hear it and be like, wait a minute, you're ranking this 11 spots higher than The Last of Us. I am. And I will read, for these top 10s, I'll read the excerpts that I've written. Because I put time into these. I really thought about what I wanted to say. So, number 10, PUBG, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. It stands as my most played game of all time, currently. It sits at about 800 plus hours, many of which I spent with friends. The game has supplied endless fun, hours of jokes, and countless aggravated moments. This is an oddball on the list, as it does not have a story, yet it still makes the list at a high spot. This is because it defined a period of gaming in my life. 2 years of college spare time were spent playing this game. The misadventures, hot sends, and memes are immeasurable. Even though my playtime is slowed, I still find myself playing to this day. And I feel like I need to explain that. You know, my friend Flag and I, when he was in his senior year of college and I was in my senior year of college, we had a lot of spare time in the afternoons, and not many other of our friends did. So me and him would play just duos of PUB almost every day when we were done. And we called it Misadventures with Ben and Flag. And we just did so many stupid things. Hot sends. We'd just go to the busiest place on the map and just see if we could survive. Misadventures. You know, we just did stupid stuff as much as we could. I have so many fond PUB memories. While it is a shitty game, I loved it. It was so fun. So PUB makes the list at number 10 because it is my most played game of all time, but also I've had so much fun with it. I can't help but appreciate it, right? So moving on to number 9 is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Before I knew it, the game was over. And that's not to say the game is short by any means. The world is truly one of the largest and most lived in I have ever experienced. The story, the characters are done better than almost any game out there. And many of the side quests, encounters, points of interest on the map will keep you busy for hours. I mean, I beat the game much quicker than most people do. And I still have so much to do in it. I found myself working towards the main story quest more than anything, which is something that I see many people struggle to do with this title. I simply found the main story to be engaging, too engaging to get sidetracked. The gameplay loop kept me coming back for more, and even now, as I write this, I'm excited to go back and explore the world some more. I have I have all the DLCs to play as well. The music throughout was among the best I've heard in the game, with epic and soft melodies coming together constantly. While I have recently become a fan of the Witcher series in general, I believe that this game will always be a highlight of for the overall story of Geralt of Rivia and the amazing characters that joined him. When I was playing this game, I was also reading the first book in the series, Last Wish. I have since read Sword of Destiny. I'm like a chapter away from finishing it. I've been reading the book. I haven't watched the Netflix series. I watched the first 3 episodes, but I decided to read the book instead. But The Witcher 3 makes it on here because it is just a great open world game with one of the best open worlds there is. Number 8, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Yet another Zelda game that I grew up watching my brother play on N64. While I never truly played it on N64, I did play my brother's save quite a bit. The world was massive for the time, and the game gave me a true sense of awe. When the 3DS came out, this was the first title I bought, and what a journey it was. Finally being able to play this game that I had seen played so many times was awesome. I'd watched my brother play this probably a billion times, so playing it for the first time was really, really cool for me, because there was a lot of things I remembered and saw him do, but I was able to actually do for the first time and appreciate it. The world was still just as big as I remember, the story was expansive, and the characters intriguing. I played this for the duration of a trip that I went on with two of my close friends. I remember sitting around on that vacation and sinking time into this game, asking my one friend for his smartphone, because I didn't have one at the time, to look up walkthroughs, and enjoying every minute of the adventure. Upon beating Ganon, I was truly upset that my journey as Link had come to an end. This was my first Zelda adventure, and I wanted more. This would be the game that would introduce me to my overall favorite franchise, and I will never forget that. So like I said, this is the top series, and Legend of Zelda is overall probably my favorite franchise, or tied with my number one game on this list, which we'll talk about in a second, in a little bit. But this game introduced me and told me to seek out more Zelda games. And to this day, I've played more Zelda games than any other title. So Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time makes the list at 8. Number 7, the Pokemon series. Gotta catch them all, and I've certainly tried. To this day, I've tried every main entry in the series, with Ruby version being my all-time favorite. And that, to those, because a lot of people don't really care for the later generations, Ruby was the one that I got as a kid. That was what I grew up with, so it became my favorite. I truly believe that these games defined my childhood more than any other series. There was a time where Pokemon was hard, and I couldn't quite wrap my head around how to beat certain trainers. Fast forward to the most recent release of Pokemon Sword and Shield, and the games are almost too easy. I remember beating Pearl version and realizing that it was the first one that I had ever beaten without any help. Because I used to have a friend named Andrew, and he would beat the games for me. Or he would trade me. I don't know if he remembers this, and if he's listening, I remember this, because I always appreciated it. So this is my thank you to you. He would trade me his Pokemon, and I would beat the Elite Four with it, and I would trade him back. At least I remember that. I don't know if he does, but if you're listening, thank you. I always appreciated you more than you knew. But while it no longer holds the distinction, I lost my spot. At one time, Pearl version was my most played game of all time, with a little over 140 hours of playtime. Obviously, PUB has close to 800, or over 800, so it does not hold that anymore. I probably sunk more times in the series as a whole than any other franchise. Playing every version of Pokemon that I have, I've probably put more hours into the overall Pokemon series more than any other game. So Pokemon makes the list here at a very high spot. Next up, number 6, Super Smash Bros. Series. This game is easy to explain a spot on the list. I firmly believe that no other game has either provided me with more laughter, enjoyment, or anger with friends and family. I grew up with every iteration of this game and have loved every version. From learning with the original game to Melee and spending hours playing against bots, and I remember in Melee too, I used to pause it to take pictures or like angle perfectly, because Melee introduced Roy, and Roy was my favorite character for a really long time. To Brawl being the first one that I was actually any good at, to the Wii U version being the one that I played most with friends through college, and finally to Ultimate, where I finally began to play the game seriously. Over the course of all the games, I have had so many different main characters. If you played against me in any of these games, you would most likely be going up against one of the following: Link, Fox, Roy Kirby, Ike, Captain Falcon, Toon Link, Villager, or Joker, or simply random. The game continues to be a staple in my life, and I see no end in sight. Link and Fox were my mains in the original. Roy and Kirby were my mains in Melee. Kirby, Ike, and Captain Falcon and Toon Link were my mains in Brawl. And then Villager was my main in the Wii U version. And Joker has been my main throughout all of Ultimate. I love Joker, so he's been my main here for a while now. On to the top 5 here. Number 5, Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. This is another game. I grew up watching my brother play through this game several times on the GameCube. I remember how upset he was when the graphics were revealed, along with pretty much everyone else for this game. And it quickly became his favorite game of all time. I'm pretty sure it still is. He had played it. And it wasn't until Wind Waker HD released for the Wii U that I finally found myself playing this game. This was the first Legend of Zelda game that I had, this was not the first Legend of Zelda game that I had played, but it certainly was the most unique at the time. The world was really expansive and unknown. I was unsure where to go in many cases and found myself simply exploring the open seas. As Link sets off on his quest to save his sister, I found myself filled with excitement as I set out on this adventure that I had seen so many times before, but had never experienced for myself. The world is filled with such unique characters, islands, puzzles, and I believe most people would fall in love with this game after only a few hours. I remember struggling to find the Triforce shards and fighting the urge to simply look up the locations on the internet. I would eventually succumb to that urge, but it did not dampen my experience. As I finished the game for the first time, I remember defeating Ganondorf and thinking that this game was truly perfect in every way. The finale and the end credits had me in silence and on the verge of tears. This was the first time a game had ever made me feel that way, and not many have done so since. I have since played through The Wind Waker again. I actually beat it just last year. This was the first time I had ever gone back and played a game that I had already beaten. I had never done that before, which sounds stupid, but when you have a backlog like I do, you don't go back and play games again. I've since done that a couple times with a few different games. But going back through showed me that it was still just as fantastic and enjoyable as I remember. So number 5, Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker. So number 4 on my top games all time, Fire Emblem Three Houses. This is the first game since Breath of the Wild that I could not wait for. The months prior to release, I was watching video after video on Three Houses gameplay. Fire Emblem had always been a series that I had enjoyed, but the addition of a Persona-like gameplay element and the ability to play on the go or on the TV had piqued my excitement for this release. The week before the game came out, I watched nothing but Fire Emblem content, such as the history of Fire Emblem and old Fire Emblem games gameplay. The day it released, I picked it up and proceeded to play for the rest of the day, taking brief breaks to walk my dog and eat. I had no clue that this is how my first playthrough would be for its entirety. I chose the Black Eagles for my first playthrough and quickly burned through the story. Countless battles, lost items, tea parties, and events occurred, and I enjoyed every minute of it. Before I knew it, the game was over, and I couldn't believe how quickly I had sunk 40-plus hours into the game. I didn't want it to end, and for the first time in my life, I immediately started a new game plus, the same day I beat it. This time, I joined the Golden Deer, and I played much more relaxed, but was amazed to find how different the story was. Yet again, before I knew it, the game was over, and another 40-plus hours has passed. I had to make the conscious decision to move on to a new game, as I had many waiting in my backlog. Nevertheless, I know that I will return to the game someday and complete the other storylines. This game made it at 4 because, I mean, think about that. I have 41 games on this list. I had never beaten a game 40-plus hours and then immediately played again. I started it over again. I wanted to play more. 40-plus hours wasn't enough. I wanted to play more of this game, to enjoy more of the characters, the gameplay, the music, whatever it may be. I really do love this game, and I do want to play it again. I was torn between playing Fire Emblem Awakening again or playing Three Houses again. I chose Fire Emblem Awakening because it's been a long time. But this game is well-deserving of number 4 on the list. Number 3 on my list is Persona 4 Golden, the sole reason I bought a PS Vita. This wasn't my first Persona experience. I had an idea of what to expect. Wonderful characters, a terrific story, and gameplay that is unlike anything else. I found myself in a video game world that I did not want to leave. The characters felt like they were true friends, and when they were in danger, I was worried. The plot keeps you guessing, and the gameplay, while dated compared to games like Persona 5, was still stellar. I began to play the game on a gloomy day, and proceeded to play it for hours. It was very rare that I would go anywhere without my Vita close by, so that I could play Persona. Even to the point where my brother and I went to WrestleMania, it was in New York, and I brought my Vita with me, like, just so I could play it on this trip. That was with my brother. Like, we weren't, like, doing it where he would go away and I would play. Like, if he went to take a shower, I would play Persona while I was waiting. So upon completion of the game, I found myself with the same bittersweet feeling I had about upon completing other Persona games. Yet this game left me in a state of sadness. I didn't want the game to end. I wanted more from the characters that I just spent so much time getting to know. I think it was an 80-plus hour run. However, as the weeks passed, I came to appreciate all the game gave me and the story that it left me with. This game honestly left me in a weird, like, state of almost depression when I beat it. I wanted more from it. I wanted to keep playing, but it was over. And it left me kind of sad that I had to find a new game to play, which is funny. Like I said, these games are like a hobby of escapism for me, and it was a world that I really enjoyed. So Persona 4 Golden makes the list at a very high spot, just released for PC. If you haven't played it, I really do recommend it. So number two on my top games of all time list, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. At one time, this was my favorite game of all time. I knew this game was special the moment I saw its first trailer. I found myself anxiously awaiting the Switch release date as I clamored for any new details about this upcoming title. Then, on January 12th, 2017, Nintendo held an event, and with it showed another Breath of the Wild commercial. To this day, I can still find myself getting chills as I watch it. It was announced that the game would be a release title for the Switch, and the next day, I went to pre-order both the system and the game. When I finally got the game, I played through the entire night, learning the world, interacting with everything, and exploring. I was in awe, as many were, of the sheer scope of this game. I played for hours on end, beating shrine after shrine, getting the Master Sword, and defeating all the Guardians. I remember the feeling as I rode to Hyrule Castle to face Calamity Ganon for the first time, Master Sword in hand. A sense of anxious excitement overcame me as I came face to face with the creature, and as I closed out the game, I personally felt completely satisfied with this once-in-a-lifetime experience. I continue to find myself coming back again and again to explore the world and enjoy its tranquility. Breath of the Wild is so interesting to me because, like I said with the Fire Emblem Three Houses, I couldn't wait for Breath of the Wild. And that's a feeling that, I mean, many people, I'm sure, you don't get so much when you get older. There's a lot of things, media-wise, it's like you can wait for. You know, Star Wars Episode 9 comes out, or Avengers Endgame. It's like, I'm excited, but I can wait for it. I was so excited. It was like a kid on Christmas Day when Breath of the Wild came out. And that's why it ranks so high on this list, because it's truly a game like none other. And you ask Gus, or you ask other people, they might say, oh, the combat's not great, or the weapon durability, or the story's not as good as other Zelda games, which is true, but it's the sense of scope, the sense of exploration that draws you in and keeps you there, and it deserves its spot at number two for me. So we find our way to number one on my list of 41 games. And you might think, well, how do you actually come to this conclusion? I'll give you an idea of it before I read it. But to this point, all the summaries that I actually had written are about a paragraph long. This game has almost three paragraphs worth of writing. That's how much I have to say about it. So I'll read what I have on it. So number one, Persona 5/Persona 5 Royal. Persona 5 was the first game that I had ever knowingly took 90 hours to beat. As I started the game based on a recommendation of a friend, I had absolutely no clue what to expect. At first, I didn't understand the game. The combat seemed off, the story wasn't grabbing me, and the themes were surprising. However, as I stuck with the game, it began to grow on me. I began to care about its variety of enjoyable characters and feel a sense of justice when defeating the villains. I saw the themes as unique and found that this game was unlike anything I had ever truly played before. A life sim, but with JRPG, anime, and fantastic story mixed in. I found myself in a bittersweet moment upon completion of the game. Upset that this fantastic story had ended, and that I would have to say goodbye to these fantastic characters, but happy that I had beaten this phenomenal game that took me months to finish. More than any other game, this one has stuck with me after its completion. I think about the characters and story often. Buy collectibles, watch videos, and listen to the music whenever I can. And I do have a pretty cool Persona collection of a lot of different games. That's just Persona 5. That's a paragraph I've written for Persona 5. And I will say, when I got Persona 5, I bought it in January of a year. I started it in March, and I didn't beat it until the following September. It took me a whole summer, a spring and a summer to beat, and some of a fall. And by the end, I loved it because it took so long. Now, here's my excerpt on Royal. Fast forward to Persona 5 Royal, and I fell even more in love with the game. This game came out during the COVID-19 pandemic, which we're still currently in, and my pre-order of the game got stuck in a GameStop warehouse. So I made the decision to order another copy and pay extra to have it delivered day one. As soon as it arrived, I immediately booted it up and remember thinking, if I could play this all night, I would. While the game on its surface covers much of the original version of the game, this one adds so much heart and soul. The old characters get even more fleshed out. The new ones add an original and exciting story. The story's new ending had me very emotional, and I once again found myself in a personalist depression upon completion of the game. During this run, I did so much more than my first ever playthrough of the original. I maxed out all but three confidants. I reached level 99 for every single one of my party members. I put 19 more hours into the game, capping out at 117 hours. I received my first ever platinum trophy for 100% completing the game. I really couldn't ask for a better game to top my list. The story and characters will always stay with me, and I will forever remember my time for playing Persona 5 for the first and second time. So with Persona 5, I mean, this has become probably tied with Legend of Zelda, if not a little higher than Legend of Zelda, for my favorite series all time. I do have a really big Persona collection because of these games. I have all the Persona Funkos. I have the Persona 5 manga. I have the Persona 5 Collector's Edition. I have Royal. I have all the Persona dancing games. I have a Persona fighting game, Golden, Persona QQ2 on the 3DS. I have the Persona 4 animation. I have a lot of memorabilia and collectibles from it because the game stuck with me and I appreciate it so much. And that's why I found myself going back and playing Persona 4 Golden. And that's why I found myself going backward and playing Persona 3. Because these games stick with me. And ultimately, I think it's a perfect encapsulation of what I want from a game, which is a game that sticks with me. A game that affects my life. A game that I can get so much enjoyment out of its story that it becomes kind of a part of me, and it affects, you know, my decision making. And like I said, it might sound stupid because it's a game, but so is a book, so is a movie. So many people say, "Oh, this movie affected me so much. This book affected me so much." Why can't a game? I guess is what I'm getting at. Why can't a game affect us just like any other media? A lot of people see it as just a form of entertainment, and I think that's going away. But I do want to say that is games are an effective means of media. They are an art form, and they can affect someone just as much as anything else. You know, someone, you could go and talk to someone that says, you know, Forrest Gump or The Shawshank Redemption is their favorite movie of all time, and it affected their life. You know, they watch it every year. Me, Star Wars. I love Star Wars. It affects my life. I enjoy Star Wars. But, you know, games do the same thing for me. A lot of games affect me in a special way. And that's kind of why I felt that it would be kind of nice to break away from different media movies today and talk about games. So I hope you guys enjoyed hanging out with me on this episode and kind of talking about video games and discussing my top 41 games of all time. I hope you guys enjoyed the list. If you didn't, if you hated it, feel free to hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. You can find us at The Bros Movie Pod on Twitter. That's where we're going to be posting links to the show and drops to the show. You can also find us over on Facebook. Search up The Bros Movie Factory. You'll find us there. And you can find us anywhere. You know, Audio Boom's our primary site. So if you liked what you heard and you are listening on, you know, some other podcast platform, find us on Audio Boom. That's a primary site. That's where we're going to be posting first. You post there, and then subsequently it ships out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, wherever you find your podcast, we're there. But again, guys, thanks for sticking around with me. Thanks for listening to my list. I appreciate it. I always love talking about video games. So until next week, I'll see y'all. And brothers.